This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Houston, standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. It's Jeremy and Joe. Ryan's in for Brian today. Ryan forgot the rest of his sleeves. Showing off his guns. A bad weekend in Houston sports. Just got way worse. Hate to be the bearer of bad news. We know that the Astros got swept by Seattle. The way the rest of the American League went, the Astros are currently out of the playoffs today. The Houston Texans fell to 0-3. Season probably over? Question mark. And minutes ago, Shams has reported that Fred VanVleet has suffered a torn ACL, devastating, potentially season-ending loss for the Rockets with their starting point guard and leader. Yeah, I can't imagine a scenario where he's back this year. And I can't imagine a scenario where you have as bad of a week in Houston sports as one could have in late September.
Yeah, it's all vibes are bad. The vibes are bad right now. I mean, the Texans, awful. Astros, not good. And then this news where if you looked at social media yesterday, all people wanted to talk about was, well, at least the Rocket season's coming up. At least we're only, you know, a month away. I think the first game of the season is October 21st. So, like, at least we're finally, you know, Rocket season's finally here. It's time to start talking about the basketball team that's going to be very good, that has a chance to go deep into the playoffs this year. And now you lose your starting point guard.
Usually, I mean, when Deshaun tore his ACL, it, like, came on the day after the Astros won it all, or was it the parade day? I can't remember. Something like that.
I think it was the parade day.
Parade day. So, usually, like, things get sacrificed in Houston sports in order to win, like, the whole enchilada in something. Hopefully, it's just Cougar basketball. Hopefully, we're having to live this terrible Texan season. Hopefully, we're having to lose the Astros potentially in the postseason.
The football team's 3-0.
Hopefully, what's that?
The football team's still 3-0.
Yeah, Houston Cougar sports.
Okay, yeah. Houston basketball.
Houston Cougar sports. Well, I mean, I feel like they're closer to a national championship, if I'm being just completely transparent and honest.
Yes, of course.
I'm just being real, I guess. But yeah, that would be great too. I'm just trying to be as realistic as possible.
Yeah, it's the basketball team is the hope, I guess, for the Aggies out there. They're a top 10 team.
That's not
right
Houston.
Now. I know, but we are the home of the Aggies.
It's not Houston.
So I think it kind of counts.
This is a gut punch, man. Like, the Rockets were going to be a contender in the Western Conference. And I still think they can be. Now, what needs to happen after this? Like, Patrick Beverley was, like, talking to some content creator. Like, the Rockets were in on him until the cap stuff came up. Like, you're going to need another point guard. Mm-hmm. Even if Amen Thompson is your starting point guard, you're going to need a backup. I know that Aaron Holiday is on the team, but Aaron Holiday, like, I think is best suited as a third point guard these days and was probably going to be your third point guard on this team. I guess you do have Reed Sheppard. How much of a point guard is he? I think he's more of a combo guard than a point guard. Can you get away with that in the NBA? Potentially. This is tough, man. But I guess for sure it is going to force feed Reed Sheppard into the lineup.
Yeah, I think that's what this comes down to is did you make the right, you know, evaluation in Reed Sheppard being the point guard of the future? And instead of the future, he's the point guard of the now. He's the guy. Even if you bring in like Patrick Beverley, what is his role here? He was just playing in Israel. Like he wasn't playing recently in the United States of America even. So he's not going to come in here and be the best point guard on the team.
No, this is weird stuff. Weird stuff for the Houston Rockets. It's going to be difficult, but I guess that you'll have to roll out. Like, is Reed going to be in the starting lineup?
Yes, as of right now, yes. Unless you're going to make a move immediately, which like there is like you know, you could go out there and acquire someone. There's you know there are guys who are available. I would frankly be calling the Bulls immediately about a guy like Coby White to come in and fix this, you know, to fill this role as your starting point guard. But if you don't believe in Reed Sheppard, like you have to go out there and add a starting point guard. And if you don't do it now, which you don't have to. This feels like already it's going to be the talk of our show come February at the deadline, is adding a point guard at the deadline to add to this roster to fill this thing out.
I'm looking at the Houston Rockets depth chart on ESPN, and they still list Cam Whitmore on the Houston Rockets. That's not a great job there, ESPN. So your backcourt's probably Reed and Amin. Durant's your three, Jabari's your four, Alpi's your five. You have Adams and Capella off the bench as your, like, double big. They still have Jock Landale on this team. They don't even have Clint Capella on this team. What is wrong with this ESPN? This is terrible. This is the worst thing I've ever seen. But Holiday, you have him in the backcourt. That's like, that's kind of it.
Yeah, you don't have anything else. So they're going to have to add in some capacity. It's just the level of which they add is the question, I guess, now.
The other weird thing about this, the Rockets just gave Fred VanVleet a contract extension. $50 million for 2 years, which that second year is a player option. So you can't even get out of the contract. Like, Fred VanVleet can kind of just hold you hostage. He's like, yeah, I'm going to be out the entire year because I have a torn ACL. And then at the end of the year, oh, because I did you a solid and opted out of that other contract to give you $50 million for two, I'm going to opt into that. Mm-hmm. So you're going to get, of the $50 million, it's kind of like that Justin Verlander deal where he signed like $60 million 2 years and pitched one inning or one game of that contract, the COVID game. So you're going to spend $50 million on Fred VanVleet over the next 2 years. One of the years he's not going to play, and then the next year he's probably going to be a shell of himself because he's going to be coming off an ACL in his 30s.
Yep.
And he was already kind of unathletic.
And you're going to have to, try to trade him for scraps at anything. Like, it's a contract dump. At that point, can you move on from him? Can you find some team willing to take on the salary, and you're doing what you know what the Texans did with Deshaun Watson? Are you adding an asset to that? And maybe that's your only real counter to Fred of, hey, man, you should probably opt out of this deal so you can at least choose a team that you would want to play for, a team that wants to bring you in if it's not the Houston Rockets. Because if not, if you opt in, we're just going to trade you to whatever team we want. You might end up in Charlotte. Like that might be the only play the Rockets have if they don't want him back. But they might still just want him back, honestly. Like, they might be okay with the player option, be like, yeah, we'll run it back. He'll come back. And yes, he was slowing down a little bit, but he had a really good end of the season last year. It just puts the Rockets in a really tough position with the season a month away.
Textures are saying Israel hates he hates Reed Sheppard, I should say. I didn't know if you knew that or not. Reed is not starting. Y'all sound crazy. He's a flop at pick number three. Another texture. Amin can't play the one. See, I think he's capable of playing the one, but then who else are you starting? Like, what does the rest of your lineup look like if you do that? Like, Tari in the starting lineup? Like,
yeah, probably.
I don't love that.
Yeah, I mean, Tari entering the starting lineup is probably your only option. What other option would you even go with at that point? Like, you're not going to start
Reed.
The double big lineup to start? Like, that doesn't make much sense unless...
No, you're not doing that, because then that means Alpi's not starting. You're not starting him with a three.
Yeah, so it's... You kind of have to start Reed Sheppard at least at the start of the season. I guess you could start Aaron Holiday, but that's uninspiring. I know you have Amen and KD and those guys out there, but it doesn't really help you. I'd rather take the flyer on Reed Sheppard and his development. But this is a guy who Ime Udoka didn't want to play last year because he didn't play good defense, and his shot wasn't that great last season. He's going to have to develop really quickly to feel good about this starting lineup. And it's not the end of the world for the Rockets. Like, I think they can... The doom is not as much as it is for the other two teams in town with this injury.
Yeah. It's a pretty big loss. You don't have a whole lot of depth in the backcourt.
Well, and you also have to factor in the back-to-backs issue now, too. We're like, yes, Kevin Durant is going to not play in back-to-backs, assuming that. I mean, he hasn't met with the media yet, so I guess we don't know for sure. Those days, I'm guessing Tari Eason just is inserted into the starting lineup for Kevin Durant. But now, if you inserted Tari now, like, what do you do when KD doesn't play in back-to-backs? Like, it does have a trickle-down effect of it where it makes things a lot more complicated. If I were the Rockets, I would be aggressive and I would go make a trade right now.
You have Tate, but that's not a great solution. No. That's more just a body who can, like, play 10, 15 minutes on the nights that you're not playing Kevin Durant on a back-to-back. Like, the depth of this team is kind of gone. Like, it really is. And it's the position, too. Like, Kevin Durant's more important, obviously. Alpi Şengün's more important. Amin Thompson's more important. Jabari, maybe. I don't know. VanVleet might be more important than Jabari. Not that he's a better player, although he might be, but just because of the position that he plays and the lack of depth that you have there. Because you're going to have to start either Either you start him and you just go like super long, where Amin's your point guard, Tari's your two, Durant's your three, Şengün's your four, or Jabari's your four and Şengün's your five.
Yeah.
Like that's, I mean, it's super long. That would create problems defensively, but it's not the quickest either, you know? And it's not a great shooting team, especially in the backcourt. And I love Amin, and I think Amin can play positions one through five. The position that he might play the least good, to just go make up a word, is the point, in my opinion.
I agree.
Like, he's great at everything he does. I think his worst position is actually point guard.
I think you can use him in spurts as your point guard, but you don't need him to be your primary point guard at all times. Like, that's not where he's going to be at his most efficient or at his best for the Houston Rockets. And that's why he's probably not going to be out there. Now, that might be your closing group. So that's where it's honestly matters more what you close with than what you open with and play a majority of the game with. But even that closing group, if it's a close game, everyone knows that the ball is going to Kevin Durant. Everyone probably knew that anyways, even with, you know, Fred VanVleet out there. But you do lose a threat there as well. So it's more of a, I guess, more of an end of game situation that's questionable. But I don't think Ime Udoka would love the idea of Reed Sheppard being his closing point guard.
Are there any free agents out there? Like this texter says, this junkie that's texting us through the text line. Russell Westbrook, welcome to Houston.
Gross. Please don't.
I mean, it's better than Aaron Holiday.
I can't.
He can play, he's athletic and plays defense and like can create. Like he does a lot of things bad too, but like.
I just can't like.
Bring him back.
He's back. I couldn't imagine them doing that. I don't know. Like, I think you're going to have to look at more of the trade market. Like, you're looking at teams that didn't make big splashes in this offseason, teams that are, you know, somewhere in the middle that have to make a decision about if they're going to, you know, go all in for this season or tank. Maybe, you know, you're even looking at like a team like the Portland Trailblazers, who at some point expect to get Damian Lillard back this year, who should have, you know, extra guards on their roster. Maybe the Indiana Pacers with the Haliburton injury. Like, gosh, like we're gonna start TJ McConnell. Like I don't think that's very inspiring either. I don't free agency is probably not the way to go.
What about Malik Beasley? Can they get him? He's not a point guard really, but can they? I remember seeing his name like brought up, like, but it was the Rockets don't have cap space, that sort of thing. He's free. Russell Westbrook is free. But again, this is gonna require like a league minimum because the Rockets don't have money under the cap. Like Quentin Grimes still hasn't signed, I guess, at least according to NBA.com. But you don't have the money to bring in Quentin Grimes. You might not even have the money to bring in Malik Beasley.
You might because of everything that's gone on with Malik Beasley this offseason. And I know he's been cleared in the federal gambling investigation, but there's all that weird rent stuff where he owes people a bunch of money.
So yeah.
He might be to the point where, you know, there's an openness to bringing him in at a vet minimum for a year because that's all he can get, but it doesn't like that. There's a risk there because what if he gets hit by the NBA on something? Because the NBA is still doing an investigation into the gambling. Yes, the federal government released him, but it doesn't mean the NBA has yet, and they're going to have a different standard of guilt than the government is. Like if he bet on any games mm-hmm. in any capacity, he's done.
Somebody said, go get Brogdon. Russ would be perfect. He would also teach the guys how to be professional, says a texter. I think he could do that. I actually think he is a pro, but he might also teach the young guys not to pass to Kevin Durant. So, like, that's the problem. Ish Smith, you are a Rocket. Is Ish Smith still bouncing around? He's played on, like, 84 teams.
That's a great question.
That's a big lineup. Carbon copy almost of the Celtics starting five, and they trounce the Mavs. See, you could get away with that starting five. The problem is the depth you have behind it. Like, you don't have anybody to rotate in that's decent. I heard Adams not playing back-to-backs. That's okay, though, because you have depth there. That was like the whole Clint Capela signing. Like, you have three centers. Reed will be fine. He doesn't need to be Curry. You just need him to be Steve Kerr or even Kenny Smith. We'll be fine. What's John Wall up to these days? Says Oso. Texture said we forgot we had Durant. Man, living under a rock. Yeah, this is not great news. Not great news. Fred VanVleet probably done for the season after tearing his ACL. Maybe yeah, Shams was hacked.
I wish. I wish he was. This isn't to the level of hacked like we thought he was when Luka got traded.
Yeah.
But because no one believed that was a real thing. But then they're going to have to be, I guess, training camp. Like, can you learn enough about Reed Sheppard, do you think, in training camp to feel confident going into the season?
Or yeah, I think so.
The way they operate training camp doesn't concern you because they don't really play full speed?
No, I mean, they're probably practicing hard and doing that sort of thing. No, I think you could. I also think like they had to know like they're an injury away. Like you have to plan for injuries.
Yeah.
Like, okay, if this happens, this is our plan. Like every team does that. So yeah. Yeah, that's gonna be interesting. Not great. Not great. Ocho's clamoring for Ben Simmons.
gross.
I mean, he's a backup guard. Could do worse.
I would rather have...
Would you rather have Russell Westbrook or Ben Simmons?
Russell Westbrook. What about Seth Curry? He's still available.
Yeah, let's get Seth Curry. Let's do that. Yeah, he can shoot. His last name's Curry.
Yeah, he can shoot.
He can shoot.
I don't know if he can do anything else. Man. Markel Fultz is a free agent, it looks like.
Remember whenever he was the number one pick, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
What a bust. Who was the dude from UNLV that was a bust? The Rockets brought him in.
Anthony Bennett?
Yeah, we're going to give him glasses and he's going to be better.
Yeah, he's not good.
His depth perception is the reason he's a bust. No, he was a bust because he was bad at basketball.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with his vision. 2020 could tell you that.
Honestly, the name you mentioned, Quentin Grimes might be the guy.
Well, that's going to cost too much. Quentin Grimes is going to want $20 million.
At this point in the offseason still?
Yeah, he's restricted. That's like been the whole hangup.
Yeah.
Is he's restricted, so like no one's going to sign him to anything because they know it's going to be matched, and they're just playing this little game of chicken.
Yeah, because we've seen of the three restricted guys that were an issue, it was him, Giddey, and then Kuminga.
Mm-hmm.
Only one of those guys has signed at this point. Giddey got $100 million for 4 years. So like,
and he re-signed too.
And he re-signed.
So it wasn't like somebody signed him and then they matched.
Yeah.
Like that, yeah, I mean, I'd be pretty surprised if Quentin's not a 76er next year. I think they're going to match anything that he gets offered. And I think that's why he hadn't signed. It's because no one's given him an offer because they know it would be matched. So what's the point? What's the point of even courting him and giving him the whole paperwork thing if they know he's going to sign? And then the Sixers are like, well, we know that you're not signing, so we're just going to hang out too. So, I mean, I would love him, obviously.
Yeah.
Be a great fit with this team. We'd be a great fit for Udoka.
I'm just looking at the free agents right now, and my gosh, this list is terrible.
It's bad.
Patty Mills, Mac McClung.
No.
The dunk contest winner?
He can't do anything else. He can't do anything else but dunk good in a slam dunk contest.
Campaign
for who?
Alfred Payton.
I don't mind Alfred Payton.
Gary Payton II?
Oh, okay. That wouldn't be the worst thing.
That could be okay. He, like, still not
he's
inspiring.
A problem. He's a problem against you in the playoffs, too.
Ty Washington's available.
No.
Run it back.
No. They need to call Dejon Giroux. That's what they needed to do. See what he's up to.
Where's he at these days?
I think he's still hurt. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. This is, I mean, such a fun day to do radio in Houston. 713-780-3776. Fred VanVleet probably out for the year. Astros are season on a brink after they got swept at the dike by the Mariners. And then the Houston Texans, 0-3. But, you know, the last team that made the playoffs after an 0-3 start. The Houston Texans. Mm. So the Houston Texans know how to do it. They know how it's done. They've been here before. Well, they used to, like, way back in the day. 713-780-3776 on the YouTube at ESPN Houston. TikTok at Jeremy J. Branham. Joe George Radio.
Yep.
On Twitter as well, ESPN975. Joe's at Joe George Radio. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Let's dive into this Texans loss from yesterday. 0-3 start. Season's done, right? 713-780-3776, Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5.
Well, we know that the Texans season is not going great right now. So what's the best way to watch football? Watch all the games. And where should you be doing it? ESPN Bet at LaBerge in Lake Charles. Excited to be back on board with them. We'll be heading out there for some Friday and weekend shows coming up here throughout the entire football season. They've got an all-new chef, a new menu items, football season, Monday Night Football, Thursday night, the college football Saturdays. There's nothing like a college football Saturday inside ESPN Bet at LaBerge Lake Charles. It's an absolute phenomenal time. You can place your bets easily right there at the kiosks. They're all over the place. You can go up to the book as well. But the MLB playoffs are beginning October 1st. All your NFL and NCAA football action, ESPN Bet in LaBerge Lake Charles is absolutely the place to go. It's the place where I go to bet when I go to Lake Charles. We can't wait to get back there this year to watch the games and also have a chance to take part in their new VIP fan cave sections, which is available for booking. Plus, they got their barbecue offerings every Friday and Saturday in the books. When you leave Houston, you want to go bet on some games, make sure you do it at ESPN Bet inside LaBerge in Lake Charles.
Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
ESPN 97.5. This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Oh, man.
How's it going, Jeremy?
What a time to be a Houston sports fan. Fred VanVleet out for the year, more than likely. Tours ACL. Shams reported that minutes before he went on the air. The Astros got punked by the Mariners. Lost all three. Never led in that series. They never led in the entire series. And the Texans went to Jacksonville and did something they haven't done in a very, very long time. Lost! And they lost in, I think, embarrassing fashion. Oh, mm-hmm. How could it be embarrassing? It was a close game. You only lost by one possession. You were there to the very end. It was so close. You only lost by one score. You know, break here, break there. The Texans scored one offensive touchdown yesterday, and it was on a busted play. That's the only way that you scored a touchdown in a football game against Jacksonville. A busted play. Season's over, right? 713-780-3776.
Yeah, I think the season's over. I know they did this in 2018. They were 0-3 and made the playoffs, but it's rare for this to happen. The Colts are 3-0. Like for you to go 0-3 to make the playoffs, you need help in your division. And right now that's not happening. Danny Dimes looks incredible with the Colts. They're moving up and down the field. They punted for the first time this season in week three. They seem legit for at least this year. I still don't want to fully buy into them, but from the Texans' perspective, you've now dug yourself a hole. And you're just playing bad football. Like, there's really nothing good about what's happening with this team. If it's not for a busted play in this game, you have no touchdowns. In the previous game, two big drives. That's pretty much it. The offense is putrid. It's all bad. There's nothing redeeming about the Houston Texans offense. If they were losing these games, 24-23 because of a Kaimi. Or, a Kaimi Fairman missed extra point, like that'd be one thing. But your offense looks inept. And Jacksonville was doing everything in their power to let you win this football game. They played just as bad as you. But the Texans have had two fumbles this year, which by the end of the season, if they get close to making the playoffs, if somehow they turn this thing around, we're going to look back at Dari fumbling in week one. And we're going to look back at Nico Collins fumbling in week three and be like, that's probably the Texans season.
Yeah, right, I don't think we're going to be looking back at that and be like, that cost us the season.
I don't think they are there. I'm trying to.
It's going to be hard to win six games. Like, if you can go 500 the rest of the way and you're a 7-10 team, that's 500 ball. Is this team a 500 team with the schedule that they have?
No.
I don't think they're close to that.
Their schedule's brutal. I mean, we knew that before the season it was bad, but like, and you could say, okay, you start the season 1-2 because you're playing two playoff teams, and then you play the Titans, and there's games that you can overcome the difficult schedule. But you've put yourself in such a hole now, it's hard to really envision a way in which the Texans bounce out of it. So, yeah, I think I guess it's not the final nail, but if the Texans if there's any chance they're going to make a run this year, they got to win their next two games. That means beating the Baltimore Ravens. Seems impossible.
I think their season's done. I think it's over. Technically, it's not done because you're 0-3, and you could get to the playoffs with a 10-7 record, which means the Texans would have to go 10-4 the rest of the way against a difficult schedule with an offense that we've seen play three games. Do you think they have 10-4 in them? Yeah. I do not. That's why technically, mathematically, the season's not done. But the eyes are telling us that the season is done. The Houston Texans season is over. Like, I'm to the point now where if the Texans go 4-13, is that in the best interest of the Houston Texans? Because it means you're probably moving on from an offensive coordinator minimum, maybe more. You're also looking at a very high draft pick. Like, maybe this is what this team needs in order to take that next step, is that your OC needs to get fired, an actual OC that's really good, well thought of, comes in, and then also you pair it up with like a top five pick that could be potentially your franchise left tackle, right tackle, something along those lines. Maybe that's in the best interest long term of the Houston Texans. It stinks for 2025, but I don't see it getting better. Like, the offense has been dreadful. The offense would have scored a touchdown yesterday if it weren't for a blown coverage. Mm-hmm. Like, we all realize that, right? Like, I heard the questioning after the game. Well, why didn't you guys do the shot plays earlier? They did. They tried. They weren't there because the Jaguar didn't bite. You know what I mean? Like, that wasn't you. That wasn't you that created that touchdown. That was on them. If you're defining that touchdown for me, that Stroud to Nico Collins, like, what is the reason why? It all starts with Jacksonville. It's nothing that you did special there to scheme something wide open. It was a busted coverage. So I think that the season is done. The question is, if it's like, gets so bad, really bad, like, when do heads start to roll for this team?
Ah, man, I think I saw something on Twitter from a Titans person talk about how much the Adams family hates losing to the Texans. And if they start 0-4, could Callahan get fired? I think the same applies a little bit here with how much Hannah McNair hates the Tennessee Titans. I mean, she has gone out of her way every chance she can to take shots at that organization. And from the jerseys and all of it, and just what they did to Houston and being better off without them, all that stuff. If they were to lose this weekend, I think we could see change as early as the bye week, which is after the Ravens game. Like you could, and I don't know if change really matters. If you know, if you change to Gerard Johnson, who has no play calling experience, or Bill Lazor, who's had like one good year basically as an OC in his career and didn't get the job this last offseason when you could have just promoted him like you promoted Cole Popovich. But if you start 0-5 going into the bye week, I think we could see heads roll then. And frankly, if you're going to make a general manager decision, I think you should do it sooner rather than later, because I think it's dumb. I get why they do it. I think it's dumb that NFL teams let a general manager go through the draft process because he's been doing all the scouting and then fire him the next day. Why would I let Nick Caserio pick my franchise left tackle when he can't evaluate offensive line for crap in the NFL drafts? Like, if you're going to make a decision, I'd make it now. Unfortunately, they're going to have to hire Corn Ferry again to make a GM search and go from there. Like, I would not wait if you're going to make radical change. If you start 0-5, or even 1-4, like I think we could see heads roll early in the season.
Yeah, I don't get the point of firing a GM that early. Like, I see your point totally, like doing a pre-draft. That makes total sense. I agree with you on that front. I just don't know the advantages of firing a general manager after week 5.
I think it's just so you can get the new guy in place. So you can have your new GM ready to go, or just, you know, let the world know that we're going to have an opening, and that way when the clock strikes midnight on the 2025-2026 season, you can aggressively go out and hire a new general manager. Like, that's the only benefit of it, because the guys who are in the building now alongside Nick Casera, they can help with the minor transactions that you need to make throughout the season about adding, you know, free agents from the scrap heap and things like that. Like, you don't need Nick Caserio to do those things, but I just think if you lose to Tennessee, which I think is on the table with how bad the offense looked, even though the Titans are terrible and they're being called out by their opposing teams for looking like they don't care before a game starts, I think everything can and should be on the table, because this is a flat-out disaster.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't agree with the Caserio mid-year thing. Like, that one to me is waited out. I'm kind of there as well with the offensive coordinator, unless you're just like, yeah, this is inept and I can no longer continue to co-sign it, which maybe that's in play because it's been pretty inept. It's been pretty awful. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Wayne, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up?
All right, what's up, guys? My thing is that we gave up a little too soon on Slowick. I mean, consider that the offensive line that we had, that Caserio had brought in. And so I feel as though we have a better offensive line than last year. We should have gave Slowick one more year and seen what he can do. And for that reason being said, CJ, he's regressing, because this is first time we get to change plays at the line, and Slowick didn't let him do that. So if Slowick would let him do that, maybe we'd be having like a different story right now. I'm going to hang up and listen to you guys and see what y'all think.
My issue with that is I don't think Bobby Slowick would have changed his stripes. And I don't think things would have changed. I think it was the right decision to move on from Bobby Slowick. I don't want to revisionist history that. We talked about it all last year about how bad the offense was. I think it was the absolute right decision to move on from Bobby Slowick. Seems like they blew it with hiring Nick Caley.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think that Slowick should have had another year. But I would also say that Slowick would have this team in a better position than Nick Caley.
I do agree with that. I do agree.
No, I think it was the right decision to move on. I do think you were limited, all that. You just failed. Like, you hired the wrong guy. And, like, how you got there, we don't really know. Like, D'Amico has the final say on his coaching hires, but was he persuaded because his network isn't large and Caserio was urging Nick Caley along? I don't know. Couldn't tell you. We don't know how the semantics played out. I agree with you, Wayne, that they would be in a better spot with Slowick. I disagree that they fired him too soon. I don't know if another year of Slowick was necessary, but they would be in a better spot. I would agree with that. Now, the whole, like, Stroud changing the play at the lines, like, yeah, he should be able to do that. But I don't know if this is the best offense for him in terms of like they were talking about it a lot through the broadcast, and we already know this. Like with the Patriots offense, the wide receivers have a lot of power based on the defense to run a route based on what they're seeing, which requires the quarterback to be on the exact same page as whoever has the option routes on that specific play. And I don't know how many option routes are out there per play. I think it would be just one. Like that's what I always saw. Like blah, 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 blah. But I don't know if C.J. Stroud and these targets are on the same page mm-hmm. that often, and I don't know how long it's going to take to fix that, if they can ever fix that. I mentioned this all last week. Like, seeing this offense the first 2 weeks gave me a lot of fear because it looked incompetent. It looked really, really bad. The problems that existed looked terrible, and I started to wonder and worry about the scheme fit. An extra game, it's just more proof there. Because what I saw yesterday just adds fuel to the fire that this is a terrible scheme for C.J. Stroud. Like, maybe they kick the wall down against Tennessee and then all systems go and they're the best offense ever. That seems very far-fetched.
Yeah, and if you look at – and that's where I think the – we talk about heads rolling. It's – if you're the McNair family, it's, okay, we have to do what's best for this football team, and that's putting the right coaches and players around – C.J. Stroud. Well, whoever his decision it was to bring in this scheme should also join Nick Caley on the hot seat. It can't be a one or the other. Whoever made these decisions is helping set up C.J. Stroud to fail. And yeah. and there is parts of it that are for sure on C.J. Stroud, and there are questions that should be asked about Stroud and his performance through the first three games of the year. But who made this decision and why? The offense looks... I saw Stutzi say this. It looks archaic. I mean, it looks nothing like what we see from a modern NFL day offense.
No, it doesn't.
And when you're talking about watching film from the mid-2000s, it doesn't exactly make you feel better. So it's like, why did this happen? The process seems to be very flawed in a lot of the things the Texans are doing, and it's biting them. Even like the Tunsil trade at this point, man. Watching Arriante just get worked all game long. It's like, are you sure you should have traded Tunsil? Even though I think in the right was better to fix your offensive line for a culture problem. Yes, but culture doesn't exactly result in good players.
Yeah, I don't mind the Tunsil trade, even in hindsight. Like you got out of a contract that's about to have to be redone. You got a second rounder for it. Like you might be selling pieces at this deadline anyways. So like I don't mind the trade. Do I think it lowered the talent of the offensive line? Sure. 713-780-3776. Let's dive a little bit more into the offense on the other side. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 975, ESPN 925. Mike Holley, U of H class of 1990, go Cougs. He's been protecting the interest of businesses for nearly 25 years. It runs HR&P. HR&P provides comprehensive human capital management services such as HR compliance, benefits administration, and payroll. We did open enrollment last week. So easy with HR&P. They make it so easy for you. And I'm thankful for that because I'm not good at that kind of stuff. But HR&P makes it seamless. Thank you, HR&P. But HR&P is going to help you, if you own a business, customize a plan for whatever that business needs. There's nothing cookie cutter about HR&P. You're not reading off a menu. You need a little help, a lot of help, anything in between. HR&P is going to create a plan for you and for what your business needs. Their customer service, second to none. You'll never talk to a stranger on the other side of the line. You'll be calling someone that's familiar with you and familiar with your company. I can speak to that customer service, just told you. Anytime I have a question, quick response, very easy to understand. So if you care about your employees, give them HR&P. Let HR&P take on the demands of human resources and eliminate your HR burden so you can get back to growing your business. Give them a call at 281-880-6525. Let HR&P customize a plan for you, 281-880-6525, or check them out online at hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe, I'm Jeremy. Hey, what's up, junkies, by the way? 713-780-ESPN. So this offense, 271 yards yesterday. They scored 10 points, three turnovers against the Jacksonville Jaguars. We're now two games up on the Texans, by the way. They're 2-1, you're 0-3. Colts, of course, are 3-0. This offense, Oh, so bad in so many ways. I started to just write down the ways they got mad at them. First series, you go 3 and out. Like, you got the whole week to game plan. You got the whole week to script. You go 3 and out in the first series, never a good look. Like, the other team defers, and then you go 3 and out, immediately give them the ball. And it's like, well, you basically just gave them 2 possessions. Second series, they actually got good field position. Titus false start, which turns a 47-yard field goal into a 52-yard field goal. Kymie Fairbairn missed that field goal, which the Texans kickers had problems yesterday. Fairbairn missed that one. Tried to miss the extra point to tie it. Barely snuck that in the left upright. And then Tommy Townsend had a terrible day punting the football. They must hate their running game, the Texans, because they were having equal success running the ball than throwing the ball. But they threw it 38 times and they ran it 19 times. So they very clearly don't trust their running game. Like, I get it. It's Nick Chubb and Woody Marks. But your passing game isn't exactly, like, lighting the world on fire either. Surprised they went away from their running game and they threw the ball twice as much as the run. I think they're almost trying to force feed, like, C.J. Stroud to figure out this offense. Like, here you go. Here's 40 passes. Go figure it out. Which doesn't exactly, like, you know, exude a ton of confidence. Mentioned the touchdown, flat-out gift. A couple of the other things. Jacksonville gave the Texans the ball at their own 47, 6:14 to play. You're driving. Nico Collins, your best skill guy, fumbles the football, which he had a drop earlier in the game too, by the way. He had some critical mistakes in that game. And then the spike. The spike, the final drive, they get a first down. They're at their own 47, 57 seconds left. They rush to the line on first and 10 and spike the football. That is bad football. That is low IQ football. That is dumb football. And it didn't come back to bite them because you got a first down. I think you got a penalty that gave you an automatic first down. But you might need that down. Like, the only time you should spike the football is at minimum with less than 30 seconds left. Mm-hmm. I hate spiking the football with more than 30 seconds on the clock because you could use that down. You giving away a down. It's dumb. Dumb football, Houston Texans.
Yeah, I mean, have a plan. Like, and that's where, again, it goes back to the opening possession. Like, what's the plan here? They don't seem to have one. We see some of the worst offenses in the NFL. Teams that get destroyed go down the field and at least get a field goal on their first possession because you have an entire week to script out your best plays. They don't have best plays, Jeremy. Like, that's the problem. Like, they don't have a script of 10 plays to get you from the 30-yard line into field goal territory. That's the biggest issue of everything, is it just does not feel like, and look, last week against the Buccaneers, good game plan. It worked, right? They went right down the field. They scored a touchdown. Nico Collins makes an incredible catch. The offense is cooking. But then it was bad the rest of the game. If you can't even get the opening drive to work on a consistent basis with C.J. Stroud, with Nico Collins, I have major questions. My biggest issue is stuff we saw last year that we're seeing again this year, which is there are guys running downfield. They are not even out of their routes, and C.J. Stroud is already on the ground. You know your offensive line is not that good. I mean, Joshua Hines-Allen is dominating Arianta Ursary the entire game, and he is pummeling him. So why is every single wide receiver not out of their breaks when they're 10 yards down the field? That's not good. That's not knowing the flaws with your football team. You don't know what's – like, you have to be able to pivot.
Yeah.
Change the plan. Where's the quick hitters? We saw Jacksonville hit some quick hitters. The big play on Brian Thomas Jr., who, like, has the dropsies of all dropsies right now, that Kamari Lassiter was trailing him on. Where is that play? We saw like one or two to Nico Collins, but where is Christian Kirk? Where is Higgins and Noel? Like, where's the quick stuff?
Yeah, you need feng shui. Like, the best play callers are the ones who have the best, like, they have the best gut feel. Like, they can see what the defense is doing, where their offense is struggling, where their offense is having success. They can exploit certain things in the defense. They're cerebral. They're cerebral. It's a game of chess, right? Like, you have a pretty good idea of what your opponent's going to do, and then you use that to your advantage. The Nick Haley right now, he doesn't give me any confidence winning the X's and O's battle against these defensive coordinators that he's exchanging wits with, that he's battling wits with. I think he's just throwing stuff against the wall. Like, okay, we know this stuff's going to – we have these plays that we practice. We have these plays that we practice. We're just going to run these plays without any rhyme or reason of why you're doing it. They went play action second play of the game. Like, usually good play-action teams establish the run first. Like, why are they doing that? Because he heard all week, oh, we're not running any play-action. Let me force-feed some play-action. The defense isn't going to be on their heels the second play of the game on play-action.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just, it's no vibes. It's no rhythm. It's no feel. The best offensive coordinators, the best play callers, they have that. They have a good idea of what the defense is about to do. Whether it's film work, whether it's flow of the game, they have areas that they want to exploit the defense because there's weaknesses in that defense. Kaylee does not feel like he has any of those vibes right now.
Nope.
You mentioned Ursary. Ursary, nightmare in this game. How's he better than Cam Robinson?
Thank you.
I think they're force feeding a second round draft pick on us.
Cam Robinson was okay. Pro Football Focus is not the end of the world. But week one, he graded out as a good left tackle. He was the left tackle at the start of the offseason. If Ursary is not ready yet, you don't have to play him.
I think they're force feeding.
Play the better left tackle. Why are you willing to switch out your left guard situation? Why are you rotating Tomlinson and Scruggs, but you're not willing to rotate your left tackle situation? When Cam Robinson, the tape he's put out there, is better. If he wasn't hurt in the offseason, he would be your left tackle. It doesn't mean Ursary is going to be bad forever, even though, to be honest with you, I have very little faith because of what Nick Caserio's track record is with offensive linemen. But he was getting walloped.
He was getting walloped.
The entire game. It was a bloodbath.
Several penalties that took you out of drives, like just drive killers. He had a face mask on a first down, and then he gave up a sack on a third down. Like, he killed the same drive twice. He was the one that gave up the pressure that led to C.J. Stroud's arm getting hit that led to the game-clinching interception. Look, maybe you're in a spot now where you're 0-3 and you should play your young guys, but there's no reason that Cam Robinson, your $12 million man, should have been benched for Ursary. And I know that Robinson's history, like the last couple of years, isn't that great, but you trust Cam Robinson or Ursary right now to protect C.J. Stroud's blindside? I think it's pretty obvious, but just my opinion. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Lamont, you're into the junkyard. What's up?
Hey, man, how's it going, fellas?
Okay.
Good.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson. You know, these kids now, these young men that's coming out of college, you know, they're not like the older ones without the NIL deals and stuff. They're pretty savvy. And I think about what J.J. Watt was leaving off the field with the little pervert, number four, Deshaun Watson, and was telling him, I'm sorry for this and stuff like that. You know, we pretty much ruined his season for you or whatever. I say all of that to say this, man. This C.J. Stroud situation, he gets no money from me because I don't want Will Anderson, when he's about to get ready and sign, that dude wants to win. Will Anderson can possibly look at C.J. Stroud knowing that he's up to get some money. Basically, I'm sorry, because I'm going all over the place to make this short, man. I think that other high-profile players, like a Will Anderson that's coming up, you know, they might be like, you know, I don't know if I want to be here. If you're going to still go with this thing, not just C.J. Stroud, but this thing in amplitude. It's crazy, and that's the way I look at it, man. Can something like this almost ruin your chances at other people, man? Because I wouldn't want to sign here right now. Not with C.J. Stroud, and that's offensive line. That's all I have, fellas.
Yeah, I mean, I think Will Anderson's going to take the money, but I get your point, Lamont. Like, if you're in a free agency battle with two teams, you know, between for a wide receiver, let's say, in the offseason to replace Christian Kirk, and it's okay, well, do I want to go to a team that is the quarterback is struggling and the offense is archaic because – or we don't know what the offense is going to be because Nick Caley probably won't be here, or do I want to go somewhere else? The answer might be somewhere else. I mean, it's probably not the end of the world if, you know, and I don't know how you feel, Jeremy, right now. I don't feel like CJ deserves all the blame for what's happening.
No, we'll hit the CJ on the other side. The Will Anderson aspect of it, like he's going to be eligible for an extension for the very first time in the offseason. And if the Texans give him big edge rusher money, he's going to accept it. Like, I think a lot of times we put too much value in like, oh, this team's no good. I don't want to stay here. 95% of the time, the player is going to sign when the money is there. So if the Texans are willing to give Will Anderson the money, Will Anderson's going to re-sign.
Yeah,
I think to your point, the scenario that you drew up is like, okay, if there's Team A, that's a playoff. It's called Baltimore. Like Team A, Baltimore, they really need this receiver. They really like this receiver. They're offering him $10 million 1 year. The Texans would like him too. They give him $10 million 1 year. Where would that receiver go? He's probably going to go to Baltimore. Mm-hmm. It usually breaks a tie. It's usually not the end-all, be-all. All right, C.J. Stroud, what do we think of his performance yesterday? 713-780-3776, Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I always think the performance of Monument Chevrolet is the best. In fact, they're the best dealership in the city of Houston. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, listen up. They're the dealership you can trust, Monument Chevrolet. They're transparent. They're not going to hassle you with pricing, which is awesome. It's a big deal. Going to the car dealership is terrible. It's no fun. That's not the case at Monument Chevrolet, because the moment that you step foot on their lot, the moment you step into their showroom, Monument Chevrolet, the feeling there is palpable. Family feel, friendly atmosphere. They hire great people, which leads to a great culture. It's why Monument Chevrolet has been serving the Houston area for 50 years. They've helped generations of families get into new vehicles, and they keep coming back because they trust the people at Monument Chevrolet. So get a fair deal, a fast deal, and an easy deal without wasting your time in these aggravating, stressful negotiations. And right now, the vehicle of the week, how about the used EVs? It's a fantastic deal that not a whole lot of people are talking about, used EVs. Monument Chevrolet right now has pre-owned Chevy Bolts on their lots at a wonderful price. These cars have brand new batteries too, by the way. They are quiet, they are comfortable, and they're priced at just under $15,000. That's a bargain. It's a deal. And if you purchase the vehicle before September 30th, you qualify for an EV tax credit of up to $4,000. You're getting this basically for 11 grand. It's a fantastic deal. So get over to Monument Chevrolet now and take advantage. No tricks, no time wasting, no hidden charges. Now is the time to upgrade your ride at Monument Chevrolet. Visit them online, monumentchevrolet.com. Go visit them in person, 225 at Beltway 8 at Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
ESPN 97.5. Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We'll get to the Stroud stuff in a moment. I hate to say it, but I would rather pay Will Anderson at this point today. I mean, Will Anderson's better at his position than C.J. Stroud is at his position currently.
It's not even close.
No. I do think that there, I mean, I don't want to sit here and defend Stroud. I don't think Stroud's the problem on the offensive end. I still think that Stroud can be a very good quarterback in the NFL. Is he currently playing really good? No. No, he's not. Those two interceptions he threw yesterday, mm-hmm. I mean, the second one, he got hit. Like,
he got tipped.
That's not on Stroud. Like, probably on Ursary more than anything else. Ursary, and maybe even the scheme of, like, hey, you're not giving Ursary help after he's getting beat all day. But then the couple times they did try to get Ursary help, they botched a stunt anyway. So it's like, you're darned if you do, darned if you don't. But the second interception's not on Stroud. He got his arm hit as he threw the football. He actually, like, looked pretty good on that final drive. He actually looked pretty good in the last two drives. Nico Collins fumbled the ball as they approached the red zone on the penultimate one. The first one was a really bad throw. And, like, some people were like, well, you know, the routes that the receivers are running, they're too close. It allows the defender to be too close to Kirk. That ball was underthrown. Like, even if that is true, and I'm not dismissing that, like, I think that does have validity to it. That ball by Stroud was underthrown. It was on the inside left shoulder of Kirk. It needed to be the outside right shoulder of Kirk, where there was plenty of room, plenty of space to operate. It was an underthrown ball. It was a really bad pass, and it came in a critical time.
Yeah, it's... The throw's terrible because it's not even close to Christian Kirk in that moment. That goes back to everything about, you know, like the offseason, like having Christian Kirk out there and not having him out there enough, honestly, the first two games of the season. So, like, is there a miscommunication there of where you think Kirk is going? I don't think so. I think it's just a flat-out bad throw. Throws that we didn't see C.J. Stroud making his rookie year. Like, that's where you talk about regression. Over the last 2 years, we're seeing CJ throw interceptions that we did not see his rookie year. And that is still surprising. No, I don't think CJ Stroud is the ultimate problem, but I do think a little bit of what we saw with, like, Jared Goff's career, where he was with a good offensive coordinator in Sean McVay, obviously, but at some point it faltered because it did not work in that scheme. But then he got with Ben Johnson, and he really took off in a giant, giant way. And I think that, again, goes back to the guy who's calling the plays, like, doesn't understand his quarterback's strength and weaknesses.
Yeah, maybe, like, there is some validity of the Stroud doesn't elevate Although I still think he can. I think that he's being hindered more than anything. But you can't argue with the results. Like, the results are what they are. That was a bad throw to Kirk. Misfiring. I think that he's – people are telling him to use his legs more. I don't like that. I don't like that Stroud is using his legs more. Like, he feels the need. Oh, I got to go out there and play make. I got to go out there and create. If he's feeling that way, what does that tell you about the offense? It tells you that he doesn't have belief and confidence in that offense. Now, if he wants to step into the pocket and he wants to escape through an A-B gap because the pressure's around the edge, fine. But the whole drifting backward stuff is driving me nuts. Mm-hmm. I can't stand it. And it's look, a lot of it's because of the protection. Like, he doesn't trust protection right now. So what are you naturally going to do when you get your head pounded in over and over? You're going to start to drift backwards. You're going to start to drift away. So that's why, like, the offensive line has hindered the development. It has hindered the potential, all of that. I think that there is some validity of maybe he's not a top 3-5 quarterback that can change a game all on his own. But look at Mahomes in Kansas City. Like, Mahomes is, like, we've talked about Mahomes as the best quarterback this generation. And right now in Kansas City, he can't get anything going because the pieces around him are so bad because they're terrible. And Stroud, I look at the Houston Texans quarterback situation, and I'm talking more about, like, the scenario that they've put their quarterback in. Like, around the league, like, what are the easiest spots to play quarterback in? Like, Buffalo, I mean, I don't know what to make of Buffalo because Allen's a freak talent. Same thing with Baltimore. But, like, Minnesota seemed very quarterback-friendly.
Yeah, look at what Carson Wentz did this weekend.
Like, Sam Darnold revived his career with Kevin O'Connell. Carson Wentz all of a sudden looks like he's a top 32 quarterback in the world again. I look at San Francisco. Okay, that's a quarterback situation where they get guys to thrive. Brock Purdy was Mr. Irrelevant. Mac Jones has bounced around several teams in the NFL, and he's looking okay. There are certain positions in the NFL that a quarterback can thrive in no matter who they are, basically. The Houston Texans quarterback situation right now, defensive-minded head coach, bad offensive line, terrible weapons outside of Nico Collins, Nick Haley, who looks in over his head as an offensive coordinator. The Houston Texans might have one of the worst positions in the entire NFL to play quarterback in.
I think that's totally fair. Because I want, and I'll defend CJ for a second, too. Like, look what's happened in these three games that you're 0-3 in. He was marching them down the field. Didn't play well against the Rams, marching them down the field. Dari fumbles. Like, he was putting his team in position to win the game again. He got them the lead against Tampa Bay before Baker drove down the field for one of his three comeback drives this weekend or this season. And then same thing with the Jacksonville game. Like, yes, the interception's awful, but he had them down, you know, moving down the field, and Nico fumbles, and the interception, he gets hit, you know, by basically a free pass rusher because your left tackle's getting bullied. You don't help him at all. Like, that's why it can't all be on CJ. I get why there's people that are out on him.
Yeah.
And people are frustrated. I get it. I'm not going to argue with those people because right now they've got the checkmate. Like, I don't disagree with them. I think it's totally valid to feel that way. But it's not all on CJ.
No, it's definitely not. Like, this is one of the worst settings to play quarterback in the entire NFL. If CJ Stroud was in Minnesota, he was the starter in Minnesota, what would we be saying about CJ Stroud? This guy's top 5, top 7 quarterback. Mm-hmm. He could lead Minnesota to the Super Bowl. What if he was in San Francisco? Like, that's why I hate the whole let's get out of this San Francisco scheme, because that's a quarterback-friendly scheme. The McVays, and that's kind of what I was hoping for when they hired Kaylee. Oh, they're bringing in a McVay, quarterback-friendly. Shanahan, quarterback-friendly. O'Connell, quarterback-friendly. Nope. We're going to go back to an antiquated offense that is very hard to quarterback in, that is forcing my quarterback to be on the same page with the receiver based on what the defensive look they're getting, which the defense have been better at decoying their disguising and all that stuff, their fronts and their what coverages they're in. They've never been better at doing that, but we're going to go back to a 2005, mid-2000s offense where C.J. Stroud has to be on the same page with Christian Kirk, Nico Collins, Dalton Schultz on every single play.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing?
And rookies who are playing their first games in the NFL. Like, guys who, like, in the Patriots system, think back. Like, would Jaden Higgins or Noel ever play in New England?
Probably not.
Because Bill Belichick didn't play rookies for this very reason.
Maybe that's why they're not playing.
Like, and maybe it is because they're not on the same page, but no one's on the same page.
No.
It's just, it's broken.
C.J. Stroud, here you go. Go read a defense. And then be on the same page with all 4 or 5 of your targets on this specific play to know exactly where they're going. Let's make it as hard as possible on C.J. Stroud to know where to throw the ball. On top of having one of the worst offensive lines in the entire NFL. Like, isn't the whole point of bringing an offensive coordinator and an offensive line coach and all the offseason moves to make life easier on C.J. Stroud?
Mm-hmm.
That was the whole point.
They made it harder.
What did they do? They made it astronomically harder. 713-780-3776. Your thoughts on this. C.J. Stroud, offensive woes. What do you think about Stroud wearing a Yankees hat, by the way? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Houston, the Walmart you thought you knew is now new. Who knew? Did you know that Walmart has more than a half a billion items online? Find a huge selection online you can't find in stores at Walmart.com. Branham family, we love ordering online from Walmart. In fact, my wife just texted me mid-segment, which I love when she does that. Do you want anything from Walmart? I'm about to place an order. I said, give me a few minutes, maybe to the end of the segment. But Branham family's been ordering online from Walmart for quite some time, replacing an order today, which is fantastic because I'm going to give her a long list of things, and it's going to be at the house whenever I get there. I love it. We all love it. We don't like to mess with the crowd. We don't want to turn off the game. Like, I want to watch Lions-Ravens tonight. I don't want to go to the store, and I'm not going to have to because my beautiful bride is placing an order as we speak. We get all the groceries we need without even having to leave the house. We get batteries. We get floss picks. We get it all. I mentioned this the other day. We got wasp spray from Walmart.com ordering because we had to kill some wasp outside. Oh, that's too expensive. Online grocery shopping costs more. That's not true at Walmart. Grocery prices are the same for delivery as they are in store. And because it's Walmart, you already know the prices are low. And they are fast. They're going to save you time. Use express delivery to get all of the eligible things you need from Walmart, from groceries, home goods, prescriptions. Walmart is changing the game. Wasp spray, too. So when it comes to feeding your family, hosting a tailgate, battling some wasps, think Walmart for all those grocery needs. Start an order today at Walmart.com.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Contact